Well, well, sounds like a good morning to me. How about you? Good morning to be in the house of the Lord. Good morning to be reminded of God's love and His goodness to us. The future, it's out there someplace. Are you ready for it?
Amen.
I'm ready, Junior says. I'm ready for the future. Oh, some days I feel like I am. Some days I feel like I'm not so sure. But it's out there, the future. Like the farmer talked to a guy in New York State, and this is a true story. They were talking about the weather. And the farmer said to the traveler, he said, "Well, I can tell you if it's going to rain or not." He said, "How are you going to do that?" And he said, "Look at those cows over there." He said, "Now, if the cows are standing up, there's no rain for 24 hours. If the cows are laying down, it's going to rain." The traveler said, "Well," he said, "what if half of them's standing and half of them's laying down?" He said, "Well, half of them's wrong." So, predicting the future. I can't predict the future. I can't predict the weather. But this kind of stuff is as old as mankind is. People wanting to know what's going to happen out there in the future. What's it going to be like? We got tea leaves and what's those boards? Ouija boards, stay away from them. And all that, the horoscopes will tell you, and don't put any confidence in that either. And we could go on and on with all that kind of foolishness. But people are trying to say, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next year? You might be like me, that you just despise going to Walmart, but every now and then you have to. You go up to Walmart, and there's 1,400 lines there. That's an exaggeration. And they got two of them open. And I'm thinking, what's the deal here? What all these lines here, and there's two of them open, and I have to stand there. And I finally get on up there, and there's the candy bars, and I say, "Boy, I sure would like to have a candy bar." And then I hear Judy saying, "Don't do it, don't do it." And there is a difference in the Holy Spirit and Judy, but they, you know, sometimes they're similar. And then I see these magazines over here, and all this psychics going to tell, and it was all the Hollywood folks, what Baldwin and Letterman and whoever, I can't remember. This psychic was telling what is going to happen, you know, in their life. And I'm standing there thinking, boy, I really need to get on out of here. And it's not going to happen. They can't predict the future. And if it was in Old Testament times, they wouldn't live to see their future because they'd be stoned to death. Now, God didn't care for that kind of thing in the Old Testament, still don't today, but they would have been stoned if it would have been Old Testament times. So stay away from things that aren't the Word. So God basically said to the people in the Old Testament, "Listen, if you want to know the future, I'll tell you about it. You need to listen to me." And I think that's still the same today. We need to look to the Word of God and what He would say to us. So this prediction business, it's dicey at best, and we need to hang on to the Word of God. Bill came up here a minute ago, and he said something like he had a thought that God would be with you always, to the end of the age. Audrey comes up here and sings a song saying, "I don't know about all the future," is what I was hearing anyway. "I don't know about all this, but guess what? God's the same, and He's going to be with you." Now I get to preach this sermon, and we didn't talk to one another. That's always nice, I guess. Where God says, "Listen here, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you." So now you know that, you've heard that scripture, you can quote it, but I want you to take it from your mind, and I want you to place it in your heart, and I want you to know, no matter what happens in 2016, God makes you a promise, if you'll live for Him and be His child, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, no matter what. No matter what. You know, it's hard for me to believe that we're in the third Sunday of 2016. It's just like, where is all this time? And here we are at the third Sunday. And we don't know what will happen in 2016. We have no way of knowing. But I feel confident that I can say I can tell you this for 2016. God loves you. God will be with you, and He will not leave you, and He will not forsake you, no matter what happens in 2016. I think it's true. If you'd look on the screen with me at Hebrews 13, 1 through 6, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers. That's a good word. Keep on loving one another as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? He says, listen, I'm giving you a promise here. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you, no matter what happens. Now, Hebrews is not the first time you've read that. If you've been reading your Bible, we can go all the way back to Genesis. And just look at that on the screen with me. Genesis 28:15 says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised. Genesis 28:15. He tells Abraham that. And we can move forward in time just a little bit. And this, look with me at Deuteronomy 31:8, when he was talking to the nation of Israel, giving them a promise. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So there it is again. Now, when God spoke to Joshua, let's look at that. Joshua 1:5 on the screen. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we got us a theme going here from Genesis and Deuteronomy and Josh. It's okay, you can laugh. God loves you. He likes laughter too. And we come on up to Joshua, and there it is again. So it's not just in Hebrews. So God's saying over and over, here's my promise. I love you. And I'm going to be with you, and I'm not going to forsake you. And some people get that twisted a little bit, and they say, well, God loves me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And that's true now. But they add to it and say, well, since God's so great and God loves me, I'll never encounter any difficulty. Everything will go my way. I'll never have any hardship. I'll never face any trouble. And the Bible don't teach that. But sometimes we can turn it in our mind to say that. So look with me at John 16:13 now on the screen. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. So he's told us now, and the theme is, listen, I'm going to be with you. I do love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But he also lets us know, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace, but in this world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So it's not a promise that we don't ever get frustrated, we don't have any difficulties, but it is a promise that God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and I'm going to help you through those things. So we know the world was created by God. We also know that there's an enemy of our soul, the devil, who has power in this world, and he tries to confuse us, he tries to throw us off base, he tries to make life as difficult for us as he can. But Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you, no matter what that's happening. And we can take that to the bank. It is true. Okay, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We know that. We know that happens. We've lived long enough to know that. We know that some bad things happen to good people. We know that there's things we don't understand. Why would this happen to that person or the other person? But bad things do happen to God's people. And we don't have an understanding of all the whys. We know there's trouble that comes and goes, but we can know in the midst of the trouble that God says, I am with you, and I won't leave you, and I won't forsake you, and I thank God for it. Another example is Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He planned to have a great life and had a great life, but he would tell his brothers some of these dreams, and if you remember that story, they just didn't care for it too much. They threw him in a pit, and they sold him into slavery. You know that story. But he had some rough times, but God never left him. He was still with him and all that. Fast forward a little bit more to the life of David. And here he is, this young shepherd boy who was out in the fields, that kind of thing. And God was with him. And here comes the old giant Goliath. You remember that story? He takes a smooth stone. He takes a slingshot. He kills the giant. He falls. And he said, listen, old giant, I'm not coming to you in my power, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to take you out. Now, that's a little bit of a paraphrase. But he did it because the Lord did not leave him. He was there. He didn't forsake him. He did what God would have him to do. Well, now, did David have any trouble? You better believe he did. And just one of the examples is King Saul. He got jealous of David, and all the people was praising David, and here's this big warrior, and Saul didn't like it. David had to run, hide in caves, and all sorts of things, but God never left him. He was with him and all those things. And we get the benefit of reading many of the Psalms that was written to during that time for encouragement and hearing how God would take care of us. We go a little further. We can talk about Daniel in the lion's den. We know our Bible stories maybe, and we know that God kept the mouths of the lions shut, but that he was still in the lion's den, but God never left him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of my favorite stories. You know it? They were in the fiery furnace. The old king said heat up the furnace. I think it was 7 times hotter, wasn't it? I think 7. But anyway, go home and read and tell me if it's 7. And he said, listen, I'm going to put the heat up here. And threw them in the fiery furnace. And guess what? The old king looked in the furnace, if you remember that story. And he said, how many's walking around down in there? How many do we throw? Hey, there's an extra man. And the story goes on to say they came out and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke, much less were they burned. I'm here to tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was loved by God, and you're no different. God loves you. You might be in the fiery trials. You might be in the fiery furnace sometimes in life, in all kinds of categories, but God says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. You need to remember that. I need to remember that in 2016. No matter what happens around us or in our families, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Look at the next slide. That's what it says. You've heard it over and over, and you're going to take it with you. You're going to apply it to mind and heart and know that God is with you. What about Pastor Saeed? I don't know what that man has went through. None of us will know probably ever all that he's went through. But the Iranians had him locked up for preaching the gospel, had him in jail, and I don't even want to imagine the torture and stuff that he probably went through. I don't know the details, but I know whatever happened, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace. I know that many people, we can read the Bible, and they were in prison, but God didn't leave them. And I'm here to tell you, in this modern day, in 2016, wherever the plane that Pastor Saeed got on and wherever it lands in Switzerland or wherever the places are around the world, God never left him. He's still there, and I thank God he's been released. So, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can look a few things up. The more emphatic the negative is in that statement, it's more like this. No, I will not leave you. No, I will not forsake you. It's never going to happen. He emphasizes it. I am not going to leave you. Now, why do I need to know that? Because sooner or later in life, you will have a problem or two. Sooner or later in life, the devil's going to come knocking on your door. Sooner or later, life's going to turn. And you're going to be bamboozled. You're going to be a little confused. You're going to be, what is going on? Now, wait a minute. The Sunday school teacher said that. The preacher preached this. The songs we sing. And it talks about the love of God. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. But this situation right here takes the cake. God, why? How come? I don't understand. And that's part of being a human being. And sooner or later, it'll happen. And when it happens, you remember this old bald-headed preacher who stood here and said, listen, I'll make you a promise. I'll make you a prediction through the Word of God. I've got enough confidence in God's holy Word to tell you, God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, no matter what. You stay true to the Lord, and when the devil knocks on your door, you remind him, my God is with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He walks beside me and I walk beside him. I'm going to hang on to the nail-scarred hand of Jesus Christ, and we're going forward no matter what the devil throws in the path, no matter what I get tangled up in this old world. God said he'd never leave me or forsake me. We need to remember that. So, because some people get overwhelmed and want to give up. Well, we might have that feeling, but don't do it. Don't do it. It'd be tragic. You keep going. You keep trusting God because he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose. He's got a plan for you that is good. And you keep going no matter what the world throws at you or the devil throws at you. Keep going in the good things of God. And the scripture here in Hebrews, verse 1 says, love one another. Love one another. That's good instruction. He's telling us, love one another. Verse 2, in that scripture, he said, listen, be good to strangers. Verse 3, he says, reach out to those in prison. Verse 4, he says, honor your marriage and don't commit adultery. Verse 5, don't put your faith in money. Instead, be satisfied with what you have. And then suddenly, out of the blue, if it, you know, sometimes I'm reading the Word of God and I think to myself, well, why do you put that right here? You know, here's what he's saying, and then, boom, right out of the blue, it's like God says, listen, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. So I want you to be true. I want you to be what I want you to be. I'm not going to leave you. So what God says here is, listen, do the right thing. Do the right thing when you don't even feel like doing the right thing. Do the right thing anyway. Do the right thing. Well, what if this? What if that? We don't know the answer to that. Don't be afraid of what man can do to you. Do the right thing. And if you do the right thing and you listen to God, sometimes he tells you to do things and you go right ahead. You do them. And then you're very uncomfortable. Has that ever happened to you? You get in a situation and you're doing what God wants you to do, but you're out of your comfort zone. You feel like, ooh, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen in this relationship because I spoke what I believe God wanted me to? What's going to happen with my friends over here? What's going to happen? Whatever. Listen, the bottom line is you do the right thing. You do what God calls you to do and let God handle it. Do the right things. Well, you might be a little uncomfortable. God don't call you to be comfortable all the time. Not an amen in the building, huh? There they come now. I like being comfortable, don't you? I don't like the palms of my hand to get all sweaty and nervous when I'm trying to speak the truth and somebody don't want to hear it. I don't care for that feeling. But it doesn't relieve us of an obligation to be Christians and do the work of the Lord. So you might feel a little uncomfortable. You might feel all alone on an issue, but you stand and do what's right, what God says. And he said, listen, you do what I'm telling you. You do what this book says, and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Might be uncomfortable. Things might happen. But guess what? I'm with you. Matthew 5:10 through 12 on the screen said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So, guess what? They didn't like everything Jesus did in his day. They don't like everything Christians do today. Do what's right anyway. And God said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You do what is right, and I'm there with you." Well, C.S. Lewis said it this way, "I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." Makes a lot of sense to me. So C.S. Lewis said those words. So God don't always call us to be comfortable now, but he says, "I won't leave you or forsake you." Well, what if I do this and lose my job? Well, that's big stuff, isn't it? What if I do this and lose a friend? That's a big decision too. Do what's right. And God said, "I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Do what is right." All right? You got the theme today, huh? I might say it another 10 times. You'll remember it. Matthew 6:19 through 20. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." The bottom line, everything on this earth is temporary. It's all temporary. We won't take it to heaven with us, but it's just temporary. We're just passing through. We want to enjoy life and all that. Sure we do. But listen, along the way, let's store up for ourselves not treasures just on earth, but treasures in heaven. And we're about that business, and I pray we'll do it. There's a story I read here about a rich man, very rich man, in the Depression time. And the story goes on that he gave a sizable amount of money away for that time period in history. And then just a few weeks, you know, everything went to the bottom. The stock market and all the things that happened in the Depression. And he was quoted saying, "If I'd known I was going to lose it all anyway, I'd given more of it away." I sure hope we don't go through another Depression. I didn't live in those days. I'm so young, you know, and good looking. I wasn't there. But some people did. Tough times. But he said, if I was going to lose all this, I'd just give more of it away. God wants us to be giving people and know what's here is temporary. And whatever in life happens, he says, "Listen here, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you." We need to know that. He promises that to us. And he promises these things to his people. You see, there's a difference and me knowing of the Lord, knowing of Him, and being born again. There's a difference about me just reading the Bible a little bit and being saved and reading the Bible. And sometimes in America today, we're getting it confused. The Bible says we must be born again. We must be saved. That's still true. That's still God's way. And he makes promises, but we need to make sure that we're a child of the living God. And we need to make sure we're saved and living for him. And for those who are willing to admit, "Listen, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved." And you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. He comes and lives within our heart. And then we can know his promises are for us. But there's a willingness to turn to him. There's a willingness to turn from sin and to be saved and to live the Christian life and allow Him to be Lord and allow Him to be Master. And then we are Christian people. He said, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. But you know, I read that, I believe that, and then I'm going to say something that kind of throws the whole theme off in a way. There's one that God did forsake. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, you've been saying all morning, He's not leaving people or forsaking them. His name was Jesus. And when Jesus Christ was on Calvary's cross, you know the story well, but we need to be reminded again and again. When He was there, and He took my sin, and He took your sin, and He took the sin of the world upon Him, God could not look at that sin. And Jesus felt that God had forsaken Him, and that's those famous words that we read, and we can quote, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Let me tell you about that, you know, but I remind you of it today. The reason that happened, God was there and He couldn't look on sin, and He placed the sin of the world upon his Son so that you and I could be saved. So you and I could go to heaven. So you and I and all people around the whole world with every skin color that will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior can go to this place called heaven. Jesus took that upon Him, and He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Aren't you glad that Jesus took your sin? Aren't you glad that you don't have to feel forsaken by God because of your sin, because Jesus took it on the cross? Because Jesus said, hey, listen, yes, I'm here on Calvary's cross. Yes, I'm willing to do my Father's job and will. But even then, He said to God, if there's any other way that this cup can pass, if there's any other way, we'll do it. But He said, no, this is the way. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And He died on Calvary's cross for your sin and for mine, the greatest story that's ever been told. He took it. So He carried our sin and our shame, and we don't have to. That is quite a story. So Jesus was forsaken that we wouldn't have to be. So what's the future hold? I don't know. I don't know all the future holds. What will a celebrity say? What's the next time I go to Walmart and see some trashy magazine over there? I'll take a peek maybe and say, Lord, forgive me. Just because I'm sitting there, it is. And somebody's going to be predicting something. I guess it's just something to go on through the line. What will happen in the future? I don't know all that. I know by the Bible that Jesus says, I'm coming back again. When's that going to happen, preacher? I think it would be foolish for me to predict that because the Bible says we don't know. But we know He's coming. Are you ready to meet Him? That's the question. And whatever 2016 already in the third Sunday brings, I don't know all that. But I know this. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and living for Him, He loves you. He makes you a promise. I won't leave you or forsake you. He won't leave Tammy Miska because her son's in Australia. He won't leave Luke in Australia in the public school. Isn't that a great thing? In the public school teaching God's holy word. Boy, we need it in our own school. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And I could go through here, and I get in trouble when I do things like that, but I could look back there at Jack and Sherry. And see, here I'm getting in trouble, I guess. And I don't want to pick on people, but at the same time, when they stand there and they see their home burn to the ground, I mean, what's that do to you? And God says to them, listen, it's bad, but I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you. When death invades families that have in our church, and it's terrible and it's grief and we lose those loved ones, but God says, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. when these accidents happen and we don't understand. And when I feel so inadequate at that hospital room and I feel so inadequate at these situations, and it's like the thought even whizzes through our mind, if God loved me, why did this happen? We do not know, but we do know God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Take it home with you. Take it to the bank and know that it's true. Would you stand with me? I invite you today to the altar if you have that need and the Spirit moves you. If you would like to come and pray over a situation and you don't want me to bother you, right here in front of the piano is a good spot for you. If you come to this side, it'll be a signal to me you want someone to pray with you. So, what's the future hold? Not sure, but I know the Lord loves you. And it could be that this morning you would like to release that to Him. That thing is driving you crazy in life right now. It could be that in your pew or at the altar you want to release that to God and say, here it is, Lord. I know you're not going to leave me or forsake me. Could be, if you're not saved today, the first step is to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of sin. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are for your grace and your goodness and your mercy. How thankful we are. Lord Jesus, you took our place on Calvary's cross. You died for our sins that we wouldn't have to be penalized for them, and that we can be saved if we'll just accept you as Savior and Lord and live for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for mankind, what you've done for me. Lord, I'm eternally thankful. And Lord, you're no respecter of persons. Whatever's going on in life today, that those things that we don't understand, Father, because we're human, sometimes it can be overwhelming. Sometimes we just can't get a grasp on what's happening. May this people, this body that's gathered here today, realize afresh and anew the love of God and that you'll not leave them or forsake them. So, Lord, would you work among us today? And whatever help we need, you're here to help. I pray we'll be free to use these altars or to pray right in the pew, but that we will do business with the one who loves us, the one has all power in heaven and earth and can help us. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.